We want to say to you today, as you have joined us here at the Queen's Ministry for our regularly scheduled morning Bible Breakfast Fellowship, thank you for being a part. And whether you're listening to us now or later at a later date, as you have picked up our taping, we are so thankful that God has allowed us and given us the opportunity to share in His Word. We're continuing our study on the lesson of James, our lesson dealing with the teachings of James that we find in the letter or the book of James, that also is so similar, it is also parallel to the teachings of Jesus. And so we've entitled our lesson, Seeing Jesus in the Teachings of James. And so what we're going to do as we go line by line and scripture verse by scripture verse is help point out the similarities in teaching that when James came along, who is, as we said last week in our study time, the brother of Jesus, as when James came along and started writing this letter to the church, to the Christian Jews, he picked up on those things he might have heard while being around Jesus, being in Jesus' presence, being in His midst. And he shared those same thoughts that he picked up with those later as he was writing to them in this letter. And so we're thankful today that we can now sit back and discover those same teachings again as we read through the book of James or the letter of James, and as we compare it to the teachings found in Matthew. Now, Jesus spoke in all of the Gospels. That's what the Gospel accounts are, but we're focusing today in our lesson on the narrative found in Matthew, where Jesus was talking or preaching, teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And he gave out some principles, some teachings, some doctrine, if you were, to help the disciples and thus help the church, later believers, to be able to stay in line with what he, Jesus, wanted us to do, to show ourselves to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. So without further ado, let's go jump on in there. And for those of you that don't have our handout, you can call our church office, amen, at any time, and present that request, and that will be shipped out to you, mailed out to you without hesitation if you desire a hard copy of our lessons or any of our lessons. If you scroll through our archive and you desire any of our lessons, all you have to do is call our church office and make that request known, and it will certainly be delivered to your door. But right now we're going to be going to, for those that are listening, to James 1 and 5. That's right, we're going to read James 1 and 5, and then I want to ask that you would put some kind of marker, some kind of way to jump over to then Matthew 7 and verses 7 through 8. That's right, we're going to start by reading James 1 and 5, and then we're going to go and pick up the similar teaching found in Matthew's Gospel, Chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. So let's begin with that. James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So James 1 and 5 says, if you lack wisdom, if you need wisdom, is there wisdom that you need to help you understand, to help guide you and direct you, then ask God. God, in turn, will give that wisdom to you liberally, without hesitation, without reproach, without holding back, and it will be blessing to you. What does the teaching found in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 says? Let's see. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. There you go. Don't you see it already without me even having to bring in the parallel point? You already see that if you ask, James said it, Jesus is saying it, you will receive. Amen. Praise God. So what is the teaching there that we're looking for? Well, we want to say the teaching there is asking God for good things. We can ask God for good things and receive them. Amen. According to his will. Amen. So we want to put there on that line, line three, that we can ask God for good things. Amen. Because James is saying here, he gives liberally without reproach. And then Matthew's gospel tells us, yeah, go ahead and ask. Go ahead and seek. Go ahead and knock on the door. Because if you ask, you receive. If you seek, you'll find it. And if you knock, the door will be open to you. So keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking is what I want to add to that in my view. Amen. Praise God. So that's the teaching there found in James 1 and 5 and Matthew 7, 7 and 8. We can ask God for good things. Amen. And by his will, he will give it to us. I don't know about you, but right there I can shout. I can get up and put 2 feet to the floor and jump up and down and shout hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Let's move on. Let's go to James 1:17 for those of you that don't have your sheet in front of you. And stay right there in the 7th chapter of Matthew. We're going to verses. We already read 7 and 8. We're now going to pick up 9 through 11. All right, so we're going to stay right there in Matthew 7, going verses 9 through 11, and read James 1, 17. What's the teaching, the similar teaching found James 1, 17, and also seen in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Let me repeat that again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We know what 7 and 8 says. 7 and 8 says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Verse 9 says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Well, this teaching is very similar to the one found in the one above, James 1 and 5 and Matthew 7. It is saying again that God is the giver of all good things. God is the giver of all good things. James 1, 17 and Matthew 7 verses 7 through 11 reminds us that God is the giver of all good things. God is the giver of all good things. James 1 and 5 says we can ask and he will give. James 1, 17 says yes, because he's the giver of all good things. Come on here, somebody, and tell the Lord thank you. Every good, every perfect gift comes from above. And if you use the analogy of a parent, a human parent who knows how to give good things to their children, then what can we expect from a father that is multiply more than the human father or mother to do for his children? My God, you can answer that yourself. You know, if we can expect our earthly parents to do good by us, then we know God can do even better than that. Amen. All right. Well, we're moving on. We're going to go to James 1 and 20, and then we're going to jump over to Matthew chapter 5. That's right. Give you a chance to get there. We're going to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to see the similarities in the teachings of James 1 and 20 in comparison to Matthew 5. And 22 is the verse that we're going to look at. And we know that this is the section dealing with the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And so Jesus poured out good teachings in this particular setting to those that were in attendance. So we know we're going to get something good right now. So James 1 and 20 says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Matthew 5, 22 says, my God, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the hell fire. So we see here that we can't just have any old kind of attitude towards one another. And though we sometimes get angry and we understand that, we ought not to take that anger to the next level where we are finding ourselves in judgment because of the anger has now blown up into more than just being angry. Now we are resentful and hateful and bitter towards our brother and sister. And the Bible is saying not to be that way. Amen. So we see here, James 1 and 20 says, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When we get uncontrolled in our anger, uncontrolled in our wrath, or uncontrolled in our self-righteous indignation, then we can fall victim to doing wrong and not produce the righteousness of God. And if we continue in that manner, holding judgment against our brother and our sister because we think we are so right and they are so wrong, then we put ourselves in judgment and we put ourselves in line to be held accountable for our actions. So uncontrollable anger is not good in the lives of believers. And so the teaching there we want to say is be warned against uncontrollable anger. Be warned against uncontrollable anger. Let me say one more again. Be warned against uncontrollable anger. That's right. We know as the Bible says to be angry and sin not. So we understand we can have that emotion. It's an emotion. We can release that emotion. Even Jesus was angry at the money changers in the church. So we can release that emotion of anger. But when we take it to the next level, when we let it get out of control, and we're saying things we ought not to say, and when we're doing things we ought not to do, and we're treating somebody in a manner that is not loving, there's that word again. Come on here. Then we've moved into a level that we are not pleasing God and we're not producing the righteousness or the right standing of God in our lives. Uncontrollable anger. Be warned against uncontrollable anger. That's the teaching there. Okay, let's move on to the next one. We're going to James 1 and 22. And then we're going to go back to Matthew 7. Go back to Matthew 7 and verses number 24 through 27. That's right. We're going to read James 1 and 22 and then jump over to Matthew 7, 24 through 7. Let's read James 1 and 22. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let me repeat that. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What is the similar teaching we see in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Then the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and they beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone, get this, who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Then the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What's the similar teaching of God's word? Simply, become hearers and doers of the word. Here it is again. the teaching is, become hearers and doers of the word. I want to add, and if you want to put it on your paper, you go right ahead. You have my permission. Be wise and not foolish. That's it. I want to add to that statement or that teaching of becoming hearers and doers of the word. I want you to add on your paper, be wise and not foolish. Why? You saw what happened to the wise man or person when the storms of life rose up. Come on here, and they will, glory to God, come sometimes our way, and the wind may blow and it may beat upon your house. But if you have placed your house, your life on firm foundation on the rock of Jesus, come on here, somebody, you can stand. But if you're foolish and have not been a hearer and doer of God's word, where your foundation is shaky, and when the storms of life come along, you may find yourself beaten down and knocked down and unable to get back up. So be wise and not foolish. Build your house, your foundation, your faith on the rock. And that rock is Jesus. Come on here. I know everybody can preach that. That's right. If I gave you all the mic, y'all can say something on that topic. But the teaching there is simply be hearers and doers of the word. Amen. I'm on number 7, y'all. I'm getting excited about this word here. James 2 and 5. That's where we're going to. And we're going to go back to Matthew 5. And I know there's a lot of jumping around, but you should have a marker right at these two chapters, because that's pretty much where we're staying. So we're going back to Matthew 5, and we're going to look at verses 3 and 5. And again, we're right there in the Beatitudes. We're right there on the Sermon on the Mount. But let's see what James 2 and 5 says. It says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? The teaching found in Matthew 5, 3 and 5 says this. It says, blessed are the meek, and they will inherit the earth. I jumped over 3. Let me read 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's right. The Beatitudes number 3 says, verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. What is the teaching found there? The poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom. Those that have a humble spirit, those that have a willingness to adhere to the commands and the teachings of Jesus, of God, will inherit the kingdom. The poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom. And this here is not so much talking about financially poor, but those that are poor in spirit is those that are willing to have a humble heart, a teaching heart, a submissive heart to God. Those that are obedient or willing to be obedient. That's the poor in spirit we're talking about here. Those are the ones that are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Those are the ones that are going to inherit the earth. The meek, the mild, just like Jesus, we say, he was meek, he was mild. Those that had that same attitude, that same characteristics of humility, of humbleness, not boastful and proud, thinking you got it all by yourself and God ain't giving or helping you in anything. No, those are not the ones that are going to inherit the kingdom. The ones that are going to inherit the kingdom are those with childlike faith, those with a heart that's willing to be in tune with God. The poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom. That's the teaching we find in those two verses, and also seen in James 2 and 5. Amen. Let's move on to James 2 and 10. And then stay right there in Matthew 5 and go to verse 22. Matthew 5 and verse 22. And we have already read it in your hearing. But let's see another connection we can find similar in James 2 and 10 to Matthew 5, 22. James 2 and 10 says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of them all." And so 22 says, "But I tell you, anyone that is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court. That's 5:22. Jesus again speaking to us, saying that we have to be careful with our attitudes, careful with our behavior, careful with our relationship to one another. And James is just coming back to remind us, because if you miss one, trying to uphold all the law, you miss one, if you stumble in one, well, James is telling us we're guilty of all. And Jesus is breaking it down here. If you think just because, glory to God, you can say this and get away with it, you're wrong. Because if you, again, let that anger get out of control towards your brother or sister and call them out of their name, you are answerable to the court, not the court of law in the land, but the court of law in the religious sect and religious setting that says that we are held to this standard, the biblical standard. Yeah, that's the court he's talking about, the law here of doing right to your brother and sister, as Jesus said, loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your brother and sister in the same manner. So if you miss out on one, praise God, then you can miss out on many of the law that is held to what God says is your standard that you are supposed to be holding on to. So we got to be careful, y'all, how we treat our brother and sister. We have to be careful how we treat one another, because we don't want to be guilty of breaking the law. Jesus gave us two commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like unto it, to love the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself. So you just can't treat your neighbor any old kind of way. If I was with you in the church, I would say, touch your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, I love you." That's right. And as Sister Annie would always say, "And anything you can do about it." That's right. We got a show for love. Amen. Praise God. Let's move on. Let's move on. James 2 and 13. And we're going to look at Matthew 5 and 7. That's right. Let's look at James 2 and 13 and Matthew 5 and 7 says, James 2 and 13 says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Let me read that for you again. "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." What's the similar teaching found in Matthew 5, 7? Simply, Matthew 5, 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they have shown mercy." What's the teaching? What's the teaching? Be merciful to receive mercy. Be merciful to receive mercy. That's right. Show mercy so you can receive mercy, if you want to put it like that. Show mercy so you can receive mercy. Because the word is saying right here, if you don't show no mercy, when your time comes, ain't nobody going to show you any. Come on here, somebody. And it always boggles my mind when I see it. And I know a lot of times it's TV and they got to go for the ratings and go for the spectacular. But it always boggles my mind when I see sometimes portray criminals that don't want to show mercy to their victims until they get caught. And then when they get caught, they want to plead on the mercy of the court, not to do the worst, to ask the judge or to ask the lawyers to plead their case so that there'd be some mercy on their behalf. But yet, when they were the ones had the opportunity to show that same mercy to their victim, they don't show that mercy. But the word of God says that ain't the way we ought to be. No, be merciful so that you can receive mercy in your time of need. So simply put down, show mercy so you can receive mercy. Let me say that one more again. The teaching there from James and definitely from our Lord is show mercy so that you can receive mercy. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's move on to the next one there. It is James 2 and 13. James 2 and 13. And then we're going to stay right there. James 3 and 12. Right, James 3 and 12. And we're going to go to Matthew 7. We're going to jump back over to Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to go to verse number 16. Matthew 7, verse number 16. And we're going to look at the similarity in teaching found in James 3 and 12. When you have it, come on, say amen. Matthew 7, 16. And then put that finger over there and go back to James 3 and 12, which says, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. What is Matthew 7:16 says? It says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. When you want grapes, you go to the grape bush or the grape tree. When you want figs, you go to the fig trees. You will be known by your fruit. In other words, you can walk around acting like you got this facade of goodness, but it's going to be your fruit, y'all, that's going to let everybody know what's really on the inside. Come on here. It's your speech, your manner, your behavior, your attitude. Glory to God. That's going to shine forth, because like the word says here, a spring can give both fresh water and salt water. It's going to give either or. Either the well's going to be fresh or the well is going to be salty. In other words, your facade can't come out given what's not on the inside. Amen. So what's the teaching? Simply, you will be known by your fruit. We will be known by our fruit, or you will be known by your fruit. Let me say that one more again. You will be known by your fruit. Amen. So I'm hoping you are truly being blessed today. I don't want to overload you, so I'm going to just give you one more. That's it. One more, and then we're going to tie out our lesson on our next gathering together. But let's get one more in for today, and let's go to James 3:18 and jump back over to Matthew 5 and verse number 9. That's it. Go back to Matthew 5, verse number 9. And we're going to look at James 3:18. And so our next gathering, we're going to conclude, hopefully, with what's left on our lesson. But we're going to stop at this one on today. So what does James 3:18 says? It says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What's the similar teaching found in Matthew 5, verse number 9? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Let me repeat that. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. James said, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen. And then Jesus taught us that blessed are those who are peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker today? You ought to be. That's right, because you will be blessed being a peacemaker and not a rebel rouser. And not one to stir up trouble, but one to bring peace and keep the peace in the midst. What's the similar teaching? What's the teaching there? The blessings of being a peacemaker. Come on here. Let me say it again. The blessings of being a peacemaker. That's the teaching we see similar in both James and in Matthew, 5th chapter, right there in verse number 9. The blessing of being a peacemaker. James says you're going to sow in righteousness. You're going to sow in goodness and right standing if you bring about peace. Peace is important. And if you are causing the disruption of peace, then you are on the wrong side of the equation. Amen. We ought to be on the side that promotes peace, that brings about peacefulness, that brings about a peaceful setting, not stirring up or causing the agitation or the agita that we sometimes see in relationships in different settings. What can you do? As much as possible. That's what the word says, as much as possible. So Paul tells us that sometimes we got to go above and beyond to bring that peace. Amen. Hallelujah. But you'll be blessed. The blessings of being a peacemaker. You will be blessed if you can sow peace in a stressful situation. Think about that the next time things get out of control or crazy. Can you be the peacemaker in the setting? Can you be the one that want to stir up the peacefulness and bring about the righteousness that can be shown by allowing the peace to flow in the situation? Sometimes you just got to keep your mouth closed. I know sometimes we all think we got something to say and we ought to say it, but sometimes all we need to do is just not say a word. Hallelujah. And that can bring forth a whole lot of peace in the situation. I'm going to stop right there before I get myself in trouble. Amen. And y'all gonna say, Elder, stop it. Amen. So I'm gonna stop before you say it. Praise God. But I hope you have been blessed by our message on today. And I hope you can see the similar teachings in our study of James, comparing it to the gospel account in Matthew of Jesus teaching on the Mount of the Beatitudes in particular, where Jesus has told us what it is expected of us. James comes along and undergirds his letter to the Christian Jews with the teachings of Jesus, saying it a little differently, but saying pretty much the same thing. So we're thankful today that we have this opportunity to be able to discover these nuggets of joy, these nuggets of love, these nuggets of inspiration so that we can grow and become and mature in God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful and I am truly blessed. Thanks again for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. And I'm Elder Mary Ellis, and I pray that you've had a blessed time with us. We certainly look forward to being with you once more and again. Take the Lord with you wherever you go and be blessed.